We want to get him on board soon.
We hope. Okay, we will resume the meeting of the Legislative Commission of Pensions Retirement. We have lost a couple of members for momentarily, but we want to get started so we can get out of here on time. The next item is number 4 on the agenda, and that is MSRS Retirement-Related Administrative... Number 5 on the agenda, MSRS Retirement-Related Administrative Provisions. Let's see, Mr. Burke, did you want to go through this?
Mr. Chairman, members, this is in the form of an LCPR draft, and the LCPR draft is the final item attached to the memo in your packet on this item. And the LCPR draft is LCPR 10-005. I'll just start working my way through this and point out policy issues and possible amendments along the way. The first provision in here is a revision to the MSRS included employees provision. The included employees provision provides some clarification regarding employees that are in the plan. And the most significant change there appears on page 2, lines 21 and 22. The existing law language has this clarification that seasonal employees employed by the Department of Revenue are covered by the plan. And what the language does is it broadens that to say seasonal employees in the classified or unclassified service are in the plan, regardless whether they're employed by the Department of Revenue or any other state-related organization. MSRS contends that this change is really clarification as opposed to substantive. And they have indicated that MSRS has, in fact, been including seasonal employees in this plan much more broadly than the Department of Revenue. The argument that they have apparently used to do that is the definition of state employee that appears elsewhere in MSRS law. And their state employee is defined as any employee or officer in the classified or unclassified service of the state. So a seasonal employee is certainly an employee that fits into that broader definition. So MSRS would contend that this is simply a clarification. I would also note that coverage of all seasonal employees would be perfectly consistent with the Commission's investment policy statement. However, if for some reason you're uncomfortable with that, I do have some language that would remove that seasonal employee language. Section 2 of the bill is a change that also appears in several other sections here. One of the things MSRS wants to do is it wants to change the name of the state deferred compensation plan, which is administered by MSRS, to simply the deferred compensation plan. And so they're proposing to strike the word state in this provision. Section 3 is the MSRS reemployed annuitant provision. This section of law deals with the treatment of reemployed annuitants, those who are rehired in an MSRS-covered position. And in that section of existing law, once individuals hit a certain threshold, the annuity for that year may be terminated, and any amount that's not transmitted to the employee is then sent to a special account for the employee that is released to that employee when reemployment ends. And the substantive change in this provision appears on page 4, lines 15 through 20. To provide a little background here, commission members may recall, I think it was maybe 3-4 years ago, there was a change in federal law that allowed for public safety retirees. Amounts could be withheld from their annuity checks for purposes of transmitting it directly to a healthcare provider. However, at the time, state law did not allow that, and so the legislature passed a provision that would allow the state pension plans to, in fact, do that withholding. What MSRS has recognized is that that provision, as it interacts with this reemployed annuitant provision, can cause a problem. The problem being that if the reemployed annuitant has sufficiently high income that the annuity is terminated, suddenly the flow of income, or the annuity checks from which MSRS was withholding a portion of the premium for purposes of transmitting it to the healthcare insurance company, those annuity checks are no longer being made. So suddenly the stream that was being tapped in order to make the premium payments is gone. So what MSRS is proposing here in this language is to allow a little bit to continue to flow through. The amount that would continue to flow through would be just enough to cover the healthcare premium so that MSRS could continue to remit those premiums to the insurance provider. This has no cost to the pension plan, so it's not particularly problematic. There are, however, a number of amendments that I do suggest for your consideration. One amendment would deal solely with MSRS, and it would broaden the scope of insurance for which this type of withholding can occur. Right now, as the laws are drafted, this would apply solely to that public safety health care insurance withholding. But in that same provision of Minnesota pension plans generally, which is in Chapter 356, it also allows for withholding for the Public Employees Insurance Program, or PEEP. And what I'm suggesting to you is that if this treatment makes sense, then perhaps you'd want to expand it to also cover that PEEP insurance. And the other amendments that I prepared relating to this is that, again, this relates solely to MSRS as it's drafted. PERA has indicated it may be interested in this as well. So if you wanted to do comparable treatment for PERA reemployed annuitants, there are some amendments to do that. Section 4 of the bill is another one of the sections being changed simply to revise the name of this Minnesota Deferred Compensation Plan. Section 5 is a provision dealing with the deferred comp plan, and the specific change here appears on the last line on page 5 and the first line on page 6. Basically, right now, when an individual decides they want to take part in this deferred comp plan, there's an agreement which under existing law says is an agreement between the employee and the employer. What MSRS is proposing to do is to revise that so that the agreement, first of all, doesn't have to be written, but any form of agreement that's acceptable to MSRS. This allows them to do things by computer as opposed to having a formal written document. And also the agreement would be between the employee and the plan sponsor, which presumably would be MSRS rather than between the employee and employer. This makes some sense in that there are other sections of the same deferred comp provision which indicates that the public employer cannot prohibit the employee from taking part in this plan. If the employee wants to do it, the public employer has to do it. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to say we have to have this written agreement between the officer, the employee, and the public employer. And MSRS is suggesting that it really should be between the employee and the plan sponsor. I do have an amendment that I prepared for this, and the amendment would perhaps alter the plan sponsor language. Plan sponsor is really not a defined term in the law, and I would suggest replacing plan sponsor with something that more clearly identifies MSRS as the organization that we're dealing with here. Section 6, 7, and 8 are revisions in the MSRS State Patrol Plan. And what's happening here is that MSRS is proposing to revise the allowable service provision in the State Patrol Plan to recognize some of the leaves that are already allowed under the plan. So that much is simply clarification. But there is some additional language here that allows individuals to have service credit in the MSRS State Patrol Plan for a period of authorized leave to provide service to a labor organization. This is language, and that particular coverage provision is showing up as Section 7 of the bill, starting on page 6, line 31. This particular authority is something that MSRS is seeking, apparently because there is an individual who would like this particular treatment. I would point out to members that this is commonly done. MSRS General has a provision that allows this already, and this type of provision is found in that of other others of our public pension plans. This language, however, would be specific to this particular fund and is drawn specifically to that. Again, while it's new to this plan, it does not really break new policy ground. Section 8 is simply the putting some language in this plan specifying for leaves of absence what the payment procedure actually would be. Apparently, up until this date, for leaves of absence where they occurred for this plan, MSRS has basically been following the procedure specified in MSRS General Law, with needed revisions to take into account the fact that the employee-employer contribution rates are different. So what we're trying to do here is actually put a procedure in this particular plan. So this would be right in the MSRS State Patrol Plan chapter, which specifies that provision. The provision is modeled exactly after what is already found in MSRS General. Section 9 is a correction of errors provision, and this again would be for the MSRS State Patrol Plan. What this provision does is it specifies what is to occur if it's discovered that someone is covered by the wrong plan. Perhaps an individual is in the State Patrol Plan when they should not be. Perhaps they should be in the MSRS Correctional Plan, or perhaps in TRA or somewhere else. Or perhaps you have an individual in the MSRS Correctional Plan or in TRA who's been covered by that plan, but a more careful reading of the law would indicate that they should have been in the State Patrol Plan. So this provision would allow correction of those errors. The individual would be put in the proper plan prospectively, and what this language also allows is for the revision to be made retroactive for up to 5 years. So one issue with this provision is whether that 5-year retroactivity, as opposed to some other length of time, would be appropriate. The 5 years was selected here because there is similar language for the MSRS Correctional Plan that uses 5 years. And MSRS felt that if 5 years was appropriate there, then presumably it's appropriate here. But that's an issue for the commission. What the provision does, and it's largely patterned after the provision that already exists in the MSRS Correctional Plan, but with some additional cleanup and clarification. What the language does regarding this retroactive coverage is, first of all, it says that since the employee, if they, for instance, should have been in the State Patrol Plan, presumably would have paid higher employee contributions than they paid to this other plan, the first thing that has to happen to get coverage for that 5-year period is the individual has to pay the differential between what they paid as an employee contribution to the other plan and what they would have paid here, plus 8.5% interest. Second thing that happens is that the employee and employer contributions for that five-year period that had been made to the wrong plan, those have to be transferred from that plan to this plan, to the correct plan, with 8.5% interest. And then service credit in the plan, the erroneous service credit is forfeited with that transfer. And in addition to this stream of assets into the correct plan due to that incremental payment of the employee contributions and the transfer of the employee and employer contributions that were made to the wrong plan, in addition to that, the department that made the error would pay to the correct plan any additional difference between the value of the benefit being created in the correct plan and the value of all this money that's transferred in. So if there's a little bit of a shortfall, the department has to make that up.
I got a question. If you're working for the State Patrol, how do you wind up in the wrong plan? I don't, what happens? Mr. Bergstrom?
It apparently happened.
Yeah. Apparently it happens, okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the department has employees in all plans. They might have a plan in our general plan, our correctional plan, and State Patrol plan, and they just in error reported them to the general plan when they should have met the requirements of the State Patrol plan. So our departments really report to many different plans to us, and they just made an error.
Okay, so Sarah Rosen.
And you said, Mr. Burke, that it was similar to the 5 years of the corrections. What are some of the other plans? What are their payback years? How many payback years?
Ms. Burke.
I must confess, I honestly don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it varies considerably. One of the comments I wanted to make to the commission on this is that whatever action you take here, whether you approve this or not, I would suggest to you that at most it should be an interim step. What we really need here is a single process in law that would apply to all these plans to correct these errors. Because the problem goes beyond simply the usual argument we make that similar employees should be treated comparably. The problem we can get into here is that MSRS may have one set of requirements for making these transfers. TRA may have another. And if you have an individual where the coverage problem is between MSRS and TRA and you need to transfer back and forth, you have this dilemma where either you pay attention to the MSRS general law and therefore are in conflict with what TRA says is supposed to happen, or you pay attention to TRA and you're in conflict with MSRS law. So longer term, we really need a single provision that should handle all these kinds of problems. But anyway, what you have before you is this provision now for the MSRS State Patrol plan.
I mean, I can see it coming up in various areas. If you have a teacher that teaches at the correction facilities, are you supposed to be in TRA or corrections?
Yes.
And if they place them in the wrong one and realize it should be in the other one, if you have a different time period. So it can come up in a lot of different ways. And so maybe, we ought to have a better one so one doesn't trump the other. So, okay.
Okay. So issues with this is the five-year retroactivity, the correct amount. Another one is whether there is a conflict with federal plan qualification requirements that's created by transferring money from one plan to another, or possibly from one system to another. Members may recall that, I believe last year, probably the year before as well, there was some concerns that TRA raised, where it was trying to correct some errors. And it was concerned that that there is some language in federal code, 401A, I believe it is, that stated that after 6 months and possibly a year, but certainly no more than that, if money had been placed in a pension plan erroneously, but it's still sitting there, you cannot move it. And so TRA was suggesting that when those kinds of situations arise, what might be necessary is to have some additional language saying if we can't make these contributions, we will try to correct the error by crediting against future contributions. If money should have come to your plan, but we but couldn't, we will handle it by corrections, future contributions. Or if money should have been taken out of your plan, but we can't take it out, what we will do is we will reduce the amount of contributions that otherwise would come to your plan until we have corrected the error. We don't have that kind of language here because MSRS was reluctant to go down that path, but that is a question of whether, in fact, this procedure is consistent with the federal law requirements. Another comment I would make is that the procedure here, although it was based on MSRS correctional law, does go above and beyond that. The language in the correctional plan, for instance, does not require any of these transfers of assets from the correct, from the erroneous plan to the correct plan. If you believe that the language before you is the model we should follow, then it would make sense to also change that similar language in the correctional plan. And I do have an amendment to do that if you're interested. Moving on, Section 10. Section 10 is a provision that deals with restrictions of on government subdivisions, specifying what supplemental pension plans they can or cannot make contributions to. And the change here occurs on the final page. Basically, what's being stricken is the entirety of Subdivision B. And Subdivision B is some language that said that no governmental subdivision could make a contribution to the deferred comp plan for volunteer firefighters in lieu of providing retirement coverage for those individuals under the Social Security system. Now, the language that is proposed to be stricken here was language that MSRS several years back said had to be in there, and MSRS recommended that we place that language in law. It is now saying, no, that is an error, and we should take that language out. One of the things I requested from MSRS on this is that MSRS contends that federal requirements will allow these kind of contributions on behalf of volunteer firefighters. So I asked for copies of the federal code, law, regulation, whatever, supporting this change. We have not received it. Hopefully MSRS has it so that it can present it to you. We made two requests but have not received it. So the commission may want to have a little more assurance as to whether this is the right thing to do. If the commission is not comfortable with it, it could, through a verbal amendment, just delete that section from the bill. And the final section is Section 11. And this one deals with a provision in Minnesota pension plans generally. It's the Chapter 356 provision, and therefore it applies to virtually every public plan in the state. This particular provision deals with the wrongful discharge language that we added, well, maybe 10 years ago, to this particular chapter. And the provision overall deals with situations where it's determined through a court action or arbitration or whatever, that an individual public employee was wrongfully discharged. And what that provision does is it establishes procedures to place that individual back into employment as an active employee. But one of the things that could have happened in the meantime was that an individual was wrongfully discharged, decided to start drawing an annuity. But then when the, as a result of the court actions, hearings, whatever, it's determined the individual should be reinstated. Well, we have to do something with that annuity. And so there's a language in there. It's the language in the subdivision before you, this annuity repayment language, specifying that the annuity has to be repaid. What MSRS is proposing is to strike some language specifying what has to occur if the annuity is not repaid. Now, MSRS contends, and there is considerable merit to the argument, that frankly, the language that's being stricken is simply for clarification because it's an irrelevant alternative. The sentence before it says that if the individual started to receive an annuity, the annuity must be repaid. So we don't have to deal with the situation of what to do if the individual doesn't do it because the individual is required to do it. So it is probably just clarification. However, I would suggest to you that since this is a section of law that applies to nearly all of our public plans out there, you may want to see if there are other plans who read this differently or are somewhat concerned that this could have some harmful implication for their plans. Those comments, I turn it back to the chair.
Okay. We don't seem to have a house quorum here. We try to call and see if either Reverend Tiefner or Smith is in the area. We can't find him. And we're getting very close to losing the Senate quorum, too, so we'll go as far as we can. But Mr. Bergstrom, we may have to hold off on some of the votes until we can either establish a quorum or to the next meeting or whatever. But why don't we go through and see where we're at. Mr. Bergstrom, what did you want to bring anything to our attention here?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Burek did a nice job explaining the benefits or the provisions of the proposal. I apologize for not getting the 457 private letter ruling or regs, and I will do that. I apologize for that on the deferred compensation in lieu of Social Security. As far as the correction of errors go, that seemed to be the biggest concern. I don't disagree that it would be healthy to have some similarity among the various pension plans. I know even in MSRS we have some different rules regarding that, but we did have a case that we would like to resolve, and this is consistent with what we do in the correctional plan. So that is the reason that we have put it in this bill. I don't think there's any controversy over the provision. It's just trying to deal with the case that we have.
Okay. We have a couple of amendments here. Again, Mr. Burke, could you just describe what they are again and what how they may affect things?
The 1A amendment deals with Section 1, that seasonal employee language. It would remove that seasonal employee language if you're not comfortable with it. The 2A amendment would, this deals with that insurance withholding problem. And what the 2A amendment would do I'm sorry, I'm going to have to read the 2A amendment. I'm relying on my
subdivision. Very simple.
Okay, what the 2A amendment would do, and I apologize, the language in my memo, I don't think defines this one correctly. What the 2A amendment would do is it deals with that re-employed annuitant public safety issue. And again, that is an MSRS provision only. And what the 2A amendment would do is it would expand that to deal not only with that particular public safety withholding, but to address this with insurance withholding issue more broadly to also include the PEEP program, the Public Employee Insurance Pool program. What the 3A amendment would do is it would allow the treatment prescribed in the bill for MSRS relating to these public safety retirees. This would extend that treatment to para re-employed annuitants as well. Para indicated some interest in that, and so I prepared that amendment. The 4A amendment is an alternative to the 3A amendment, And this would do, again, this amendment addresses para, but it would address not only the public employee insurance withholding, but also insurance withholding for the PEEP program. So it's a slightly more expanded version. Again, it's an alternative to the 3A amendment. The 5A amendment is the amendment to deal with that language dealing with the agreement between the employee and employer or the plan sponsor, MSRS General, for deferred compensation. What it would do is it would delete sponsor and put trustee in there. So it would read that the agreement would be between the employee and the plan trustee. Plan trustee is defined within that particular section of law to be MSRS or its board, so there'd be no uncertainty regarding just what that meant, whereas plan sponsor is not defined and it's somewhat less clear. So I would think that the 5A is sufficient clarification that could be helpful. The 6A amendment is an amendment that could be used if the commission is not comfortable with adding to the state patrol plan language specifically authorizing coverage within that plan for a member of that plan who is on an unpaid leave of absence to go work for a labor organization representing employees of that plan. So if the commission is not comfortable with that, the 6A amendment could be used to remove that authority. Again, however, as I pointed out earlier, that authority is commonly found in other plans, and it is in MSRS General, so it's not breaking new ground. The 7A amendment would delete Section 9 of the bill. That's this correction of errors provision that is being proposed as new language for the MSRS State Patrol Plan. So if the commission is just not comfortable taking any steps in that direction, that could be used to remove that provision. If the commission does want to have a treatment specified in the bill for correction of errors for the state patrol plan, but does not feel that 5 years retroactive correction is the correct amount, you could use the 8A amendment to specify a different length of time by inserting something other than 5 in the blank that appears in the 8A amendment. And the 9A amendment could be used if the commission feels that the language for the correction of errors provision for the state patrol plan should remain in the draft essentially as is. And the commission also wants to make comparable changes in the MSRS correctional plan language. Again, this State Patrol language started as a virtual copy of that correctional plan language, but as we thought further and worked out some of the kinks in that language, we created differences between this proposed State Patrol language and the similar language in the correctional plan. So the commission wants to make comparable changes in the correctional plan language dealing with correction of errors. You could use the 9A amendment. And the 10A amendment would delete Section 10 of the bill. Section 10 of the bill, again, is the provision dealing with the restriction on governmental subdivisions, their authority to make contributions to supplemental pension plans. And the commission could use that if it's not comfortable with removing this language dealing with the volunteer firefighters and authority to make contributions on their behalf to the deferred comp plan. And the 11A amendment is an amendment that deletes Section 11 from the bill, and that is the provision dealing with annuity repayment and the wrongful discharge situations. The commission could use that if some other pension plan administrators are not comfortable with that provision, because again, that provision applies to nearly all the public plans in the state. So if they're not comfortable, and if you wanted to remove it, you could use that particular amendment.
I think, we pretty much have lost the quorum to vote, but is there, Mr. Bergstrom, did you have anything, any comments on the proposed amendments?
Mr. Chair, of the proposed amendments, 9A, I think, is a nice change.
Okay.
It clarifies how we cancel the service and the transfer the money back and forth. It is something we do anyway, but this does clarify in law how all of that is handled. So if somebody was reported, let's say, to our general plan, we cancel that service, we transfer the employee and employer money over to the proper plan, and then reinstate that service. And that's really what that amendment is trying to do, is just clarify the administrative detail.
Ms. Vanek, is there anybody else who wants to be heard on the bill? As I say, I don't know that we'll be taking final votes today on it, but we will certainly move fast on the bill next time. Did you want to weigh in here? Welcome. How did your meeting go this morning, huh?
It's interesting, Mr. Chair.
Okay, good. Anything we should know about? Okay.
Oh, you'll be hearing.
That's what I'm afraid of. Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chair, members, Mary Vanek, para director. On the insurance provision, we do support.
Which one was that, Seth?
The where when we have a reemployed annuitant and we suspend the account, that we can continue to withhold the insurance premium. We have not only the public safety benefit that is allowed under federal law, but we also have a life insurance program that para introduced in the mid-80s, and some retirees have a premium withheld. Currently, the plan sponsor directly bills those individuals when those accounts are suspended, but it would be a nice option to be able to pay the premium, continue to pay the premium. We do not have any deductions being taken for public employees insurance plan currently. I know the law allows it, but we currently do not have anybody for whom we're withholding PEEP premiums.
Okay. So that's both 3A and 4A, and is that what we're referring to?
Mr. Chairman, the 3A amendment would provide comparable treatment in para to that which is proposed in the MSRS admin bill. So
3A.
That would be comparable to what's in the bill.
Gotcha. Anybody else who wants to be heard on this proposal today? As I say, we're going to have to probably kick the bill over the next time, but we're not going to reopen it for all the background discussions. We might be moving fairly quickly to adopt or reject. Okay, anybody else? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Burke.
Does Mr. Bergstrom want the 5A amendment?
Mr. Bergstrom, what do you think about the 5A amendment? This is the employer-employee deferred comp trustee and sponsor.
Mr. Chair, we would prefer not to have that. We have a very in-depth plan document, and we refer to us as the plan sponsor in that document. We're required by law to have it, and this that would make us undo the name change.
Any other ones you want to think about? Okay. Anybody else here? Any other? Sarah Lynch.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to ask a question on, I think it's the 7A amendment where staff was indicating this was the amendment that you would potentially address whether or not you want to look at situations like this more globally or not.
This, yeah, what the amendment does, it just takes it out of the bill, mm-hmm. but we don't have a replacement to make everything consistent. So if we're going to hold it off until next time, perhaps we could have something that would, you know, apply to all the plans. If you're going to make corrections because somebody's in the wrong plan, maybe we had to have a bigger solution than just the state patrol plan that's before us. So is that something, Mr. Burke, we can look at next time?
If you want to, sir.
Sure. Why don't we take a look at that? So, I mean, it comes up often enough, and I think we ought to just figure out what the solution is, but the other plans better be prepared to talk about it. So
Mr. Chair, what I can try to do is coordinate a meeting of the other plans to see if we can reach some kind of consensus.
That'd be a good idea.
Not promising anything.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Martin.
Yes, Mr. Bergstrom, when you've got someone who's not in the State Patrol plan but should have been, they're in one of your other plans, all the other plans are covered by Social Security. The State Patrol is not. What complications with the MSRS correctional, when it was a question between general plan, which is Social Security covered, and correctional, which also is Social Security coverage, it's a lot less complicated. This is going to result in either someone being short a benefit or getting double a benefit potentially.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Martin, what the employer ends up doing then is getting back the money from Social Security. So in the case that we have, they contributed to the general plan and Social Security. They would then move the money back to us to make the State Patrol plan, and then they go to Social Security and recapture their employee and employer contribution to undo that.
And if I understand it, there's a time limit on how long one can do that for. 5 years is what it used to be. I'm not sure if I know what it is currently. Is that still the...
Mr. Martin, I'd have to look at that. And actually, I thought it was like 3 years, 3 months, something. 3 years, 3 months, 15 days or something. Some goofy thing. So it's about 3 years, 3 months, if I remember right. But I can look into that. And if the concern is we could structure this to only be able to go back that far, if that might make some sense. And I can look at that correction.
Okay, anything further? Anybody else who wants to bring anything to our attention? Because I'm getting ready to close her down. So, if not, we're going to not take up the last item on the agenda. We'll hold off that next meeting. That's the deadlines for filing actuarial evaluations. Let me just comment that I think we do need to reinstate a deadline for that. And we just have to make sure, because we had one for many years, we just repealed that. But happy Thanksgiving. Anything else? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you. See you next month.